We would like to take a moment to thank our sponsor, Preborn. When a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, it's a divine connection. And the majority of the time, she will choose life. But they can't do it without our help. Preborn needs us, the pro-life community, to come alongside them. One ultrasound is just $28. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby or visit preborn.com.
Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim Wildman here with Fred Jackson. Good morning, Brother Fred.
Good morning.
And how you doing, Chris?
Good morning.
Chris Woodward with us. And in Kansas City, KS, is Ray Pritchard. Good morning, Ray.
Good morning, Tim. How you doing today?
I'm doing great. I'm assuming Fred and Chris are okay.
Yes, you're absolutely.
You're here. You showed up.
Yeah, that's right.
Half of life is just showing up.
I was voluntold to be here.
Right? Somebody said that. Half of life is just showing up.
That's right.
Hey, let me say something, Tim, too. If anybody ever is looking for a day to go online and watch us, we're in sartorial splendor today. Got dark blue. And then, Fred, that's
teal.
Teal? Would you call that teal?
Teal, sure, yeah.
That's beautiful. And then the brightest orange polo I have ever seen in my life, Tim. It looks like this is a good golf day for you.
Yeah, don't tempt me with that because it doesn't take much. Yeah. But I tell you what, I guess I'm channeling my inner Tennessee Volunteer today.
Exactly what it looks like.
It looks like Tennessee Volunteer orange. And you're donning the red.
I got bright red on.
The Ole Miss red right there, right?
Yeah, this is Ole Miss red. That's right. Yeah. Football is coming.
It's coming. What do we got? 2 weeks till kickoff?
Roughly, Chris? Yeah.
Something like that. What's today? Whatever.
First
today.
Games are a week from Saturday.
I am proud to say that my university will not – well, we will not lose to Alabama this year. We don't play them.
Your university, university, Mississippi State University, will not lose to Alabama this year?
Yes, for the first time in years, they will not lose to Alabama.
And why is that, Chris?
Because they're not on the schedule.
Bada-boom.
Yeah.
Boom. Ole Miss can say the same thing, not playing Alabama this year.
It was funny because they put out the new schedule, and it's not going to be every year, this kind of thing, but they put out the schedule to include Texas and Oklahoma, the new members of the SEC.
Oh, good.
And people were like, great, we're not – oh.
Yeah, for the have-nots in the SEC football world, it's just, okay, we'll give you a break from Alabama. Mm-hmm. Let's see, here's Texas.
Yeah, yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah. So Vanderbilt, Vanderbilt inherited Alabama. Anchor down on that one, Commodores.
Oh, man. You know what's so funny about – with some of these schools, like Vanderbilt, poor Vanderbilt. Now, they can compete very well in baseball.
Yes, much like MSU, they are a baseball school.
They can compete in baseball at a high level. They can compete in basketball and other sports. But football,
it's tough.
Vanderbilt is just it's never going to change. But whoever the coach is acts like it is. Yeah. And that's the new coach every 3 or 4 years. And I'm thinking to myself – okay, you'll say anything as long as they'll pay you $5 million a year, okay? And I don't blame them.
No.
I don't blame them. You come in there and you say, hey, we're going to take this program up and blah, 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 blah.
I can be a cheerleader for $5 million.
Right.
That's right.
I'm thinking, you can put this on rinse and repeat in about 4 years because there are certain elements against you in the sports world that are never going to change, and especially in collegiate and, sports. Professional sports, they try to promote equal opportunity, right?
Parity.
That's why they have
salary cap and all.
You have the draft, and the worst team drafts first. And they do that to try to keep fans' interest, because you don't want to have a, you know, a team that loses every year for the rest of your. Who's going to buy season tickets for that? No opportunity.
Same thing in hockey.
Same thing in hockey.
Yeah,
it's a smart move because you give each team a chance with good management and good fan support an opportunity to succeed. You know.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right, you're not listening to Sports World here, but ESPN. But we are 2 weeks away from college football, I think, and I know a lot of folks can't. It's kind of an escape from this.
Yes,
please.
Political football eternity that we're in here in America.
Yeah, we're going to go from talking. Well, many millions of people across these United States will go from talking about polls to which team is in the poll.
Maybe. Yes. Good. I see what you did there, Chris. All right, Chris, what's the first story?
We begin with some breaking news.
Is it breaking, Fred?
It sure is. And Fred, you've put this on the website?
Yes.
J.D. Vance and Tim Walz have agreed to a vice presidential debate on October 1st. It's going to be on CBS News. Vance and Walz, of course, are the vice presidential candidates, J.D. Vance being the Republican, Tim Walz being the presumptive Democratic presidential nominee. I say presumptive because they've yet to have their convention. Nonetheless, Vance and Walz are going to agree. Again, it's on October 1st, hosted by CBS News. The Trump-Harris debate, the one and only at this time Trump-Harris debate, is still confirmed for September 10th on ABC, although, as we have discussed in this program, Trump wants to debate Harris as many as three times on some other networks.
Please, no.
I'll let them know.
We don't need three. Two max.
Yeah.
It is good that the vice presidential candidates have agreed to a debate.
I think that'll be very interesting, as we have been reporting over the last couple of weeks. More and more information is coming out about Governor Walz and his associations. But also we've seen J.D. Vance blossom. We played a clip yesterday. Was it on CNN? He was being challenged. And how he responded to things. He is very comfortable, I think, in this kind of public forum. So it should be a very, very interesting debate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Both military backgrounds, the whole controversy with Walz over his alleged military background, and then J.D. Vance on his time in the Marines. So that should be very, very interesting.
Yeah. Walz, the governor of Minnesota, he did serve in the Minnesota National Guard for 24 years.
Mm-hmm.
I think the controversy is about him saying he carried weapons of war,
yes,
of battle, and he didn't.
No.
But he said it. We played it before. I don't know what he's going to do about that one. He's going to have to – I think he's ultimately going to say, I misspoke, or I apologize, I didn't mean to say that. Whatever. But he, so far he hadn't rescinded that, has he? The media won't push him on it much. I mean
– not yet. Because
– but he will have to in the – the debate, if he gets in a debate situation, he'll have to answer for it.
I hope. We're not sure how CBS questions, how they're going to go. But
Vance will bring it up.
But Vance will bring it up.
Vance will bring it up. As I mentioned yesterday, Ray, I don't know how much you've seen of J.D. Vance.
He is super impressive.
Yeah, I think so.
Sharp and smart in that book. Hillbilly Elegy. Tremendous story. From a guy who rose from a tough time in Appalachia and ended up in the Marines and U.S. Senate and now prospective vice president. No, he's an impressive man, and I don't have any worries about him in that debate. He's going to hold his own just fine.
Just a warning about the movie. I haven't seen the movie based on the book, J.D. Vance's memoir, his life. I was told by somebody who saw the movie, it's a whole bunch of cussing in there.
Mm.
So I just want people to be forewarned. We're not endorsing the
Ron
Howard movie.
Good.
I haven't read the book. I've got the book, but I haven't read it yet. But it's J.D. Vance's testimony of being raised by, abandoned by his mother. His mother was a drug addict.
Yeah.
This is in the book. And he was raised by his grandmother. Basically, it's one of those stories. He came out of the hills of Kentucky and then in Ohio, and that's why he called himself coming from hillbillies. And he made himself what he is today. I mean, just a United States senator. And it's a tremendous life story. And I've heard him speak now many times over the last few months. Of course, he is conservative, which I like politically, but he's also well-spoken and a reasonable person.
Yes.
And Ray, you going to comment on that? I just like his demeanor.
Look, he's gotten his sea legs under him. You know, it's a little bit of a tough start there, and the media went after him from the get-go. But he went on the Sunday morning talk shows. I don't know if you guys saw any of that. Mm-hmm. He acquitted himself very well in a hostile media environment. So, yeah, I think he's a five-star guy.
Yeah.
And, that debate will be substantive and sharp, and I think there'll be some sparks flying both ways.
Now, Walt, Chris, just on his part, as far as him being a speaker, he seems to be a pretty good speaker.
Yes.
That I've seen him. I don't agree with his politics, but just to give him credit, I think he is pretty emphatic. You don't quit. He doesn't bore you. Or he doesn't. His personality, especially if you like his politics, would be something you'd say, yeah, you say it, you know.
Yeah.
All right, next.
Well, I fully expect, I would be shocked, quite frankly, if CBS doesn't make it a point to bring up what they call reproductive rights. We call it abortion. Because Tim Walz and Vice President Harris have been running hard on abortion. They say, in their words, abortion is on the ballot. And they have promised.
They don't say it like that, though, do they?
No.
They say reproductive rights.
They do. Now, the reason I say it will be interesting and necessary, I think, for this debate to include the issue of abortion is because Tim Walz is pro-abortion. He's not pro-choice. Like, he's pro-abortion. And what's interesting here, I've got some audio. I combined a clip. We've already played it on the show a couple of weeks ago when Tim Walz was first announced as Vice President Harris's running mate. But it's Tim Walz touting abortion at a recent Planned Parenthood rally, and then it's going to be followed by audio of pro-life activist Ryan Baumberger talking to Washington Watch this week about Planned Parenthood's racist past. Clip 5.
My record is so pro-choice, Nancy Pelosi asked me if I should tone it down. I stand with Planned Parenthood, and we won!
The origins of Planned Parenthood are rooted in this mindset that certain people didn't deserve to live. Those who were considered unfit, those who were children who were born out of wedlock and women who had children out of wedlock or outside of marriage. And of course, poor blacks, which is what precipitated the Negro Project, which was to target poor black communities with birth control because their promise was birth control would lift you out of poverty. And it never did. And it never does, actually. And so today it's abortion on demand, where literally abortion is the number one killer in the black community. It kills more black lives in 2 weeks than the KKK killed in a century.
Yeah, Margaret Sanger was the founder of Planned Parenthood. Lest we forget, Hillary Clinton received the Margaret Sanger Award.
Right.
Need to remind people, Planned Parenthood likes to put their abortion clinics in areas where black Americans in their residential areas. They target the black community. People need to understand that. Sanger went after African Americans. That's why she set up Planned Parenthood. And of course, the mainstream media doesn't like to do that history on Planned Parenthood. But for there's Tim Walz on the record praising Planned Parenthood. And Kamala Harris became the first vice president in United States history to go and visit an abortion clinic. Remember she did that in Wisconsin back several months ago, and they made a big deal of it?
Mm-hmm.
First time in history that a vice president went to an abortion clinic. The Democratic Party, Harris and Walz are all in on killing unborn babies.
Yeah. One thing that Walz will probably hit back Vance on is a comment Vance made a couple of months ago, if it's been that long, when he was on Meet the Press, and he told the host of Meet the Press that he does support access to the abortion pill mifepristone, which was an issue we covered on AFN. Many pro-life people were upset with that. So Vance better have a good answer to Walz's comeback that you yourself support abortion somehow, some way. So we'll see how all that plays out in October. Another issue, this also involves Governor Walz. He was one of the people that locked down his government a lot during COVID. As a matter of fact, he issued not one but two lockdowns in 2020. And I've got a grandmother here. She's been on various news programs for the last 24, 36 hours. Her name is Lisa Hansen. She owns a bistro, or she did, and she decided after the second lockdown, I can't afford to stay closed. I have to open. We have to earn a living. And as a result of her decision, she spent 60 days in jail for opening her bistro near the end of 2020 when
Governor Walz announced the shutdown.
Yeah, she has since moved to Iowa, but at the time she was in Minnesota here, and she made these remarks to Fox News, clip six.
His policies destroy the American people's rights, the Minnesotans' rights to be specific. He destroyed so many businesses in the state of Minnesota, never to open again. He destroyed so many lives in Minnesota, literally. The man is a criminal, and he should be impeached, and he should be prosecuted.
It was very hard to get words out of her.
Tell us how you really feel.
Yeah. Wow. So she has since moved to Iowa.
Probably for her, it's the free state of Iowa.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
You know, it is ironic. There's a difference, right? In the Midwest in particular, you can go state to state, and the politics can be drastically different.
Oh, look, you can go from Illinois with its left-wing, heavy-handed, almost totalitarian government. You can go to Indiana.
Right.
It's another whole world.
Yeah.
Okay, Ohio, a truly conservative state, right? Then you can go north into Michigan, and you got what? Is it Governor Whitmer?
Yeah, it's a completely different worldview politically.
To Ray's point, you can go from Chicago to Portage, Indiana, and feel much safer. That's a short
so
drive.
True. Yes,
but I was thinking about Minnesota and Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Minnesota is basically a socialist state now,
mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm. And you just heard one of their citizens form, but Iowa is conservative. So it's Iowans and Minnesotans, if you talk to them, they're not a lot different from one another. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and I think the reputation in Minnesota is largely driven by Minneapolis, St.
Yeah,
Paul.
It's the big cities.
Yeah.
I saw somebody the other day, I think I mentioned this, Ray, but and Fred and Chris, but I saw somebody the other day and said, we're really not controlled by blue states. America is dominated to a large extent by blue cities.
Correct.
That's right.
Correct.
That's right.
Yes.
And if you look at any map after a presidential election, it's almost 90% red.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But then you go to New York, Boston, Detroit,
Los Angeles,
Chicago.
San Francisco. Yeah.
Why is that? Why do you think that is, Ray?
Well, I don't know. I'm just thinking about the point you raised. I mean, Chicago is left, almost off the cliff. Come to the suburbs. It's red. And then get further, you know, get 100 miles away from Chicago, it's deep red. It's the same way in Minnesota. You got Minneapolis, very deeply blue. But you get out there in those smaller towns, it's okay. New York City, deep blue. I often go to Word of Life in upstate New York. You could hardly get to a redder part of the country than upstate New York. There's just not enough people up there. But it's very conservative.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just think big cities tend to attract groups of people who are more dependent on government help. And mm-hmm. so when you have that, that gives local government more and more power.
Yeah. Also, they're generally big pro-union areas.
Especially Michigan.
Yes. And any pro-union area is going to be the unions and the Democrat Party are joined at the hip. Okay. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be wherever you find the influence of the unions is going to be they're going to be blue, deep blue areas. You know, I was just thinking about the country. I guess the only place now, well, maybe not the only place. I haven't thought through this very, very much, but I was thinking about the state of Florida. Florida used to be kind of a purple state. They would vote for a Democrat. They would vote for a Republican statewide, I'm talking about. Now it's a red state. And, of course, a lot of people attribute that to Governor Ron DeSantis. Basically, he's registered a lot. He's helped, not just him, but the Republican Party in Florida. They registered, been busy registering a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it was also his decision to lift the restrictions on COVID.
Yes.
That was huge.
Yes, that made national news. Mm-hmm. It also attracted a lot of new people to move to Florida.
Yes.
During COVID, because mm-hmm. of Governor DeSantis' open up policy, and so Florida has become a red state. But I was thinking, in Florida, if you look at a statewide map during an election, when DeSantis won, whenever it was 2 years ago, his reelection bid, I think it was only like maybe a couple of places in Miami and maybe a couple of places in Tampa, you know, that were, yep. that were blue.
Mm-hmm.
Everything else was red. I do think also in Florida, you mentioned how DeSantis opened up pretty quick.
Yes.
For COVID. But also, they have good tax and policy. They have, from a conservative point of view, they have good regulation.
Yes.
Policy.
Also, what he's doing with regards to parental rights. We have
that's big. We have
a story on our website, AFN.net, mm-hmm. today, where DeSantis, under his parental rights campaign in that state, has endorsed 23, I think it is, school board candidates. Now, mm-hmm. how often do you hear of a governor getting involved with school board elections? But he has endorsed 23 school board candidates because they support parental rights.
Listen, I think any other time, Governor DeSantis, who is a rock star, if you look at his track record in the from a conservative point of view, he and he's very smart.
Mm-hmm.
He would have won the Republican nomination, but Trump was unstoppable because, especially after the indictments started coming down,
yeah.
you know, it was circle the wagons
mm-hmm.
mentality, and so people basically appreciated, liked Trump's first term
yes.
as president. So mm-hmm. all those things made it very difficult for Governor DeSantis to get any traction to challenge Trump. And then, of course, Trump started calling him the sanctimonious and said he was a horrible governor and all this.
Yeah.
Trump doing what Trump does is demean people, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think Trump became unstoppable. So I think maybe in 4 years, DeSantis may have a chance again. Of course, Vance, if he's VP,
mm-hmm.
he would be the preemptive and probably unchallenged mm-hmm. nominee. So, you, Ray, you've got some. I'm thinking about DeSantis. I'm thinking about Vance. I'm thinking about some others. You got Kemp in Georgia. You got Reynolds and governors in Iowa. You've got some other people out there. The Republicans seem to have a pretty deep bench.
Well, they do, and a lot's obviously going to depend on what happens in November, because if right now, it's an interesting question, which we probably ought to ask, what is the state of the race right now here? Mm-hmm. The state of the race seems to be rather confusing here in the middle part of August. I mean, a month ago, before when Joe Biden was still there, and then right after the assassination attempt, Donald Trump was going to win this. He was going to walk away.
That changed quick, didn't it?
Boy, it did change quick.
We're going to talk about that when we get back. Let's take our break right here. We're going to talk about that when we get back. The polls. The polls in these swing states are just dead even. I mean, it's just razor thin. And who knows, is it going to stay that way from here to November? We'll see. We'll talk about that more when we get back from the on the break. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network.
Did you know that every day, Preborn's network of clinics experiences 200 miracles? How? Preborn gives women with unplanned pregnancies a window into their womb through free ultrasounds, introducing them to the beautiful life growing inside. Once she meets her child inside her womb and hears their heartbeat, the chance of her baby's life doubles. Because of the generosity of you and me, who donate just $28 to sponsor an ultrasound, Preborn can do this. The cost of a dinner to save a life, the most worthwhile investment you can make. All gifts are tax deductible and go entirely to saving babies. Someday you may meet a baby that you rescued and you can give them a hug. Or maybe they'll give you a hug. Maybe they'll even save your life as they grow and pursue meaningful careers. One thing is for sure, you will never regret saving a child's life because life is a miracle. Please donate your best gift today. Just dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby, or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Thanks for listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Tim, Fred, Chris, and Ray, we thank you for listening to the program. Joining us now from the great state of Minnesota is our good friend Jan Markell. She's the president and founder of Olive Tree Ministries and heard each weekend here on the radio program, Understanding the Times. Good morning, Jan.
Oh, good morning, Tim. Nice to talk to you all.
How are you doing today?
We're doing well up here.
Okay, I haven't talked to you in a while, personally at least. I haven't been on when you've been on the program. Yeah. How's Olive Tree Ministries?
Well, we're doing just fine. You know, I mean, it's a busy time. Not that certain seasons are not busy, but right now it's an interesting time, and I'm trying to keep up with everything, and I'll tell you, it's more and more difficult.
Now, you did your annual big conventions, yeah, or whatever you call them, conferences. You did those for years and years. Are you still doing those?
Well, yeah, and Fred attended a couple times, too. Mm-hmm. I believe he's there with you now.
Yes, but he is.
Yeah. Well, we've downsized a little, and we have them about 4 or 5 times a year. It's just a smaller in-person audience, but we're getting a much greater online audience. Because we're getting hundreds of thousands to be able to tap in online. So it's just a little bit different emphasis. They're still going. And again, they're 4 or 5 times a year. They can go to olivetreeviews.org and just go to events, and everything's in line there.
A lot of the emphasis of your ministry, I'm just saying this for the people who are new to AFR, yeah, who don't know a lot, and is Bible prophecy and current events, yeah, and trends, yeah, and things of that nature, right?
Yeah, trying to enable Christians to better understand what's happening in light of the Bible. And, you know, we can take all the political information and everything else that's hitting us from in the media, some of it good media, not all of it's bad, a lot of it is, but not all. But, you know, unless we have that biblical perspective, it really still won't make sense. We just need the biblical perspective, which, of course, I mean, American Family Radio, that's what you folks are doing 24/7. But and then ministries like Olive Trees tries to come alongside of you folks and help folks better understand the times and become watchmen on the wall. And that's what the Bible asks us to do. So we're just trying to equip the saints.
Yeah, I tell you what, Jan, Bible prophecy, there's always been an interest in it, but it has intensified. When, yeah, I talk to people now, they want to know, you know, for instance, right now, what's going on in the Middle East? Where does Israel fit in Bible prophecy? I know you deal with, for instance, the World Economic Forum. What does that have to do with the one world government that we know is taught in Scripture during the tribulation period? So, you know, if anybody says that the Bible isn't current, they do not understand Bible prophecy and how it applies today.
And Fred, I think something that's contributing to that is the fact that our churches are pretty silent on these issues. And that's for a dozen different reasons. It's kind of all of them tragic. Not every church, but by and large, they don't want to go there. It might be controversial. It might offend people. It might not be the theology of those sitting in the pews. And so that's contributed, I would say, to the disaster.
Yeah.
Talking to Jan Markell. Jan is a prisoner in... she's a political prisoner in Minnesota under the regime of Governor Tim Walz, W-A-L-Z.
John Walz.
Kim John. That's good right
well,
there.
Well, now we know how she feels.
Okay. Oh, my goodness. Okay. Tell us about him. He's the VP candidate for Harris, as we know now. What can you tell us as a Minnesotan about Walz?
I'm always somewhat shocked when people say, well, I never heard of him, because, my goodness, in 2020, he and Minnesota in general were headline news because he delayed the National Guard for many, many days to the point where about a mile section, three-fourths of a mile section of Minneapolis burned to the ground because of the riots, the George Floyd riots in May, June of 2020. And remember, his wife was the one who's now quoted. She opened the windows of their home so they could enjoy the smelling of the smoke from those 2020 riots. So now I hope you know the character of this couple. They shut all of our churches down for COVID in 2020. And I think just a note of history here that 100 years ago, the Communist Party targeted Minnesota, other places too, Chicago, Madison, Wisconsin, and Minnesota, particular Twin Cities. And then I would say some 30 years ago in the 1990s was formed the Red-Green Alliance. Communism and Islam came together and headquarters now out of Minnesota, mainly Twin Cities. And believe me, this is a deadly combination to be in your hometown, a Red-Green Alliance, Islam and communism. And it took hold in a relatively godless state. Now, having said that, there are certainly Christians here, but there are a lot of Christians in name only here, a lot of non-evangelicals, and I'm not going to get into denominations, but the state is very lost, and thank God for the evangelical remnant.
Talking to Jan Markell. Ray, did you have a question for Jan?
Jan, about the situation in the Middle East, it seems like we've been on pins and needles for the last couple of weeks, wondering if Iran is going to unleash a major attack on Israel. And each day it seems, well, maybe they will, and then we're told it hasn't happened yet. So what's going on? What do you expect in the Middle East in the next few days or weeks?
I have a feeling they will not attack, and the only reason I'm speculating like that is because they're saving up everything for the big attack outlined in Ezekiel 38 and 39, the Gog-Magog alliance that's going to unite with Iran, Russia, Turkey, and some other countries in the latter days, and we don't know the timing, the latter days, and this confederation will attack Israel and try to seize the spoil, and God will intervene. So this may be during what's known as the tribulation, but again, we don't know for sure. My hunch is they will wait for that opportunity rather than have their right now. Israel would retaliate by striking their nuclear sites.
Yep.
I think that's a given. I don't think they want their nuke sites touched. I really don't. But we'll see, because what they're doing is just having their proxies do all the dirty work, Hezbollah, Hamas, and now the terrible, terrible unrest in the West Bank that we would know as Judea and Samaria.
Talking to Jan Markell. Jan, what do you got coming up this weekend on your show?
I got to think. What have I got coming up this weekend?
Just make something up. You know, we don't know.
This is reality. I'm going to play portions of Michelle Bachmann's message that she gave to, again, this is at her kind of downsized conferences, on August the 1st, she spoke to us here in suburban Minneapolis, and I'm going to play remnants of that. And then I have a a Christian police officer on who was a SWAT man himself and who's going to speak into the Trump assassination and the likelihood that it was probably, you know, possibly anyway, more than one person, and we've got something, a cover-up, in other words, going on. So I think the 1-2 punch there will be of interest to your listeners.
Okay. That's the radio program Understanding the Times, heard Saturdays and Sundays here on American Family Radio. Understand that the times are, it's a noon. I mean,
1 o'clock on Saturday, noon on Sunday.
Noon on Sunday. Yes, yep. It's noon on Sunday.
I'll post our lineup.
Central time.
Yes.
And 1 o'clock on Saturdays, Central time. All right, Jan, take care. Thank you.
Thank you. Goodbye.
You know, it's very interesting. Jan was talking, you know, speculating about what may happen in the current tension in the Middle East. Heard an interview with, I believe it was, retired General Keith Kellogg yesterday on Fox. And he was asked about this. And he was an advisor to former Vice President Pence. He was asked about, okay, what do you think is going to happen? And he said this, and it's the first time I've heard this. He says Iran is scared of Israel. Iran is scared.
I believe that.
Is scared of Israel. Because Israel punches back hard. And they, just like Jan said, Iran is holding off because they are concerned that if they attack Israel right now, Israel will respond by going after their nuclear establishment.
That's why the only thing that's somewhat effective against Israel is guerrilla warfare, like Hezbollah on the north, Hamas. Iran funds those.
Yes.
Terrorist organizations, despite the fact that Iran is a Shia branch of Islam, and Hamas is a Sunni branch of Hamas is more known as a political organization, not really a religious group. But I'm saying the Hamas terrorists are Sunnis and not Shia. I know that's getting complicated for a lot of people, but they have the common enemy. The common enemy is Israel and their hatred for the Jews.
Yes.
That's basically. And, of course, they hate the U.S. too, Iran's. And I'm not talking about all Iranians. Probably most Iranians don't want to live under this totalitarian regime that dominates their lives called the Ayatollahs.
Yes.
But the Ayatollahs took over. Was it the 70s, Ray, when the Ayatollahs took over?
Right. That's right.
Remember that? The Iranian Islamic Revolution, and they overthrew the Shah?
Yes.
That's right. Uh-huh. That's right. And Iran has been in the grip of those radical,
right.
Even by Islamic standards, radical
right.
mullahs over there who are looking for this last imam and who really believe that by wiping Israel off the face of the earth, they are serving their God. Because it's not as if the average Iranian person shares their view, but they don't have freedom. They don't have freedom in Iran to change the government.
It's like China. They're dominated. It's a totalitarian state controlled by the mullahs, in this case, the Ayatollahs, and they are dictators, and they control the police, and even though the citizens, a majority of them, probably a vast majority, remember they had an uprising about, five or 6 years ago?
The Arab Spring?
Yeah, they had an uprising. Right. And in Iran, a lot of people came out for freedom and to get out from under the oppression of, because remember, a lot of people were critical of Obama, I think, at the time, saying he's not doing enough to show support for these folks. You remember that?
Mm-hmm.
And so I saw a picture the other day of Iran in like 1975, the streets of, and it looked like a Western country. It showed these children going to school in normal clothes. The women didn't have on all the Arab, not the Arab necessarily, but the Muslim, you know, coverings. They look more...
Look westernized.
Yes, yes. And back to the original point about Iran being scared of Israel. I think that's true. Of all the countries in that region, because of this reason, If they start seriously attacking Israel, they, I mean, these other Arab countries around there, or in this case, the Persians, the Iranians, directly, they're going to suffer severe consequences to their, it's going to be Turkey. I know that guy over there in Turkey, Erdogan, what's his name?
Erdogan.
Yeah, he keeps saber rattling, but he's not going to do anything. No. He's not going to send troops into Israel. He doesn't want a war with, who wants a, you don't want a war, you want a regional war with Israel. Really, that's what you want. I don't think any of them want that. And furthermore, and I mentioned this before, type in Samson option. Samson option. Okay, that's what it is. And that is, if Israel's attacked, I guess even seriously enough with a bomb, or certainly a nuclear bomb that Iran might send over, that you couldn't take out necessarily with an Iron Dome thing, but if they start, but maybe they could. Israel is set to basically set the world on fire. Okay, read about it. They will unleash nuclear bombs that will turn Iran into glass.
Yeah,
that threat is there, and I think that threat is real. If Israel feels like they're, what's the expression, existential?
Yes.
Threat. Go ahead, Ray. You want to comment on this good news that I got for you right there?
Well, everything you said is 100% correct. Israel is prepared, if they are attacked like that, to respond and destroy Iran, not just their nuclear facilities, but take them out as a functioning country there in the Middle East.
Yes.
And that is what the Samson option is all about. Everybody hopes and prays it never comes to that. But does anybody doubt that if it finally came down to it, that Netanyahu would give the order? I think he would. And
I think he would too. Yeah.
That's one thing that keeps the Iranians from pushing the button on their side.
Right.
And if that wasn't to happen, I think you need to go back to the history of the wars against Israel since it became a state again in 1948 and how God intervened. You should read those stories on what happened when those Syrian tank drivers came out of their tanks and said, we can't stand it inside. We feel this pressure all of a sudden. Israel was greatly outnumbered military-wise, but they still became the victors in that, in what happened. So, if a nuclear response is not it, then God will intervene.
Well, listen, by the way, you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Chris, Fred, Tim, and Ray. Ray, I want to ask you about this. Speaking of what Fred's talking about, Israel's role in Bible prophecy and the miracles that have taken place over Israel's existence to demonstrate that God's hand is on their country and on those people. If you look, the very fact that Israel became a country in 1948, tell us the story of that. Can you share at least some of it?
Let me just give the part of the bigger picture. If you go back to the Old Testament and you read about you have all those nations in the Old Testament in with ITE, the Girgashites, the Hivites, the Hittites, right? The Ammonites, the Amorites.
Then
there's a lot of
Beatles came along.
They didn't have
ites, but no, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, look, all those nations were enemies of Israel, enemies of the Jewish people. They are gone.
Mm-hmm.
Israel endures. The Jewish people endure. After all that's happened, after all the attacks, after all the pogroms, after the Holocaust in World War II, Israel has endured. It is, I think, the greatest miracle in history that the Jewish people have not, that they've been scattered, but they've not been wiped out. Their ancient enemies have been destroyed, and they are no more. But Israel, if you go back, and Fred, you can, and I'm going to turn this back over to you to mention some of those stories, but it's just phenomenal. There's no way that the Jews should have been able to survive in 1948 when they were attacked virtually from every side and the Arabs came up against them. But God delivered them and has delivered them ever since.
And Israel had to reform as a country to go along with what the Bible talks about, the tribulation period. Israel has to be a country before we get to the tribulation period. So that's why I say I do not believe Israel is going to be destroyed before the Lord returns. It's going to be there. It's going to be intact as a nation because what the Bible teaches us is after the rapture, and I know not all people agree with that teaching, but I do. After the rapture, you have...
You do, and you got the microphone.
The Antichrist comes along and has this peace agreement with Israel. So Israel has to be in place when that rapture occurs. So that's why, whether it's Israel defending itself with a nuclear weapon or it's God directly intervening, Israel is going to stay intact.
Yeah, and just a little bit of history, and you guys correct me if I'm wrong, because Ed's a historian, and he will correct me if I'm wrong, but he's not here today to correct me if I'm wrong, and he gets great joy out of that. Okay, Israel, if you look at the map in the Middle East of what's currently the country of Israel, okay, prior to 1948, that did not exist. That is the country of Israel, which is what you're talking about, Fred. Prior to 1948, that did not exist. That was a piece of property, piece of land controlled by the British.
Mm-hmm.
And then before that, I don't know who controlled it before that, but you go back to the Roman Empire, you go back to the, I would have to, Ed would be able to tell us this. He is very smart on all this history, but it was a British mandate. Is that what they called it?
That's exactly right. Mm-hmm. I think it was the Turks before.
Because you had the British Empire. It was a reason it was called the British Empire. They were worldwide. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Right.
It was the Turks before the British?
That's right. Right.
And then maybe the Romans before them or something. I don't know.
And several others.
Several others come and go over the centuries.
That's
I think it was either the League of Nations or the United Nations. The League of Nations preceded the United Nations. Had sympathy for the Jewish people post-World War II because of all the suffering. It was then the genocide that was going on in Nazi Germany. So the sympathies of the world, basically, maybe the Arab countries, not so much, but they were with the Jewish people, and they wanted to establish a Jewish country for them to grow and feel safe and have their own identity. So that's what happened, and almost immediately the fighting began, because you had some people living there who were Arabs who hated the Jews and didn't want them there. They began to fight, as humans have done since the beginning of time, basically fought over land.
Mm-hmm.
And so the fighting began, but the Jewish people there, and that's some of the miracles you could read about, the Jewish people prevailed even against almost insurmountable odds, especially when they were attacked in 67 by three different Arab countries at the same time that surrounded them, Jordan, Syria, and Egypt, right, Ray?
That's right.
At the same time, they were attacked, and they beat them all back. And their very survival was at stake at that time, and Israel won that war. They've also, the Israelis, and listen, the Jews still have to believe in Jesus to be saved.
Amen.
Absolutely.
That's right.
We're not saying that we are saying that they are God's chosen people, as the Bible describes. But on an individual, personal level, a Jew is no different than a Gentile in terms of he or she must receive Christ, ask for forgiveness of sin, and give your life to the Lord. That's not what we're talking about here. But the Jewish people, they're very intelligent as a whole. They're very industrious. They know how to make money. They know how to do business. They're stereotypes that fit in with what I've just described. But also in the country of Israel itself, their very survival is at stake, depending on what they do when they wake up every morning to defend themselves and protect themselves. And the country they've built there is quite amazing. I've been to Israel like 27 times. I've lost count taking tour groups. Tel Aviv, 3 million people, I think, is a very modern, progressive, and I mean that in the good sense, city. They maintain Jerusalem. I think there's 600,000 people that live in Jerusalem, probably 80-20 Jewish Arab. Even the Arabs who live in Jerusalem and like living in Israel.
Because it's a whole lot better.
Yes, it's a beautiful land. It's desolate in places, but even that has its own beauty. The Dead Sea, the Judean Desert. You've got the Sea of Galilee, which is beautiful. And then Haifa. And anyway, it's a very prosperous, especially for its size, country. And so I'm saying all that to say I think God has blessed Israel since 1948 in innumerable ways. Sadly, a lot of the Jewish people don't fully understand that yet, but we're supposed to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, right?
That's right. That's right.
And pray for the Jewish people. Pray for everybody, but pray for the Jewish people that they would see Jesus as their Lord. All right, Ray, we're going to take a break, okay?
Sounds good.
Okay, we'll take a break. Fred, Chris, thank you.
Thank you.
And Steve Paisley Jordahl will be with us momentarily. Stay with us.
We'd like to thank our sponsors, including Preborn. Preborn has rescued over 200,000 babies from abortion, and every day their network clinics rescue 200 babies' lives. Will you join Preborn in loving and supporting young moms in crisis? Save a life today. Go to preborn.com.